I invite you this morning to open again to the book of Ephesians and the second chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. In just a moment, we're going to consider these verses together. As we begin this morning, my mind this week was thinking of the words of the aged apostle, the apostle John. In the book of the Revelation, the aged apostle saw the scenes of heaven. He was blessed with the glorious scene of the elders in worship. The theme of their worship is recorded for us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. As their song rings out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Truly this morning as we gather together, Jesus Christ is one that is worthy. He is worthy, as the elders said, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Jesus Christ is worthy of our all. I like what Augustine said. He said, "Jesus Christ is not valued at all until he is valued above all." Jesus Christ is not valued at all until he is valued above all. We have been focusing our thoughts of late on the Lord Jesus Christ in our morning messages. And I trust that as we've considered and we have focused our thoughts upon Him, that Jesus Christ is truly the focus of your life. That He's not simply the focus of our sermons. All of our life is to be centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Yet we realize that for many today, Jesus Christ is only a part of the whole of their lives. He is not all. He has a part of their life, but he is not their all. James Smith reminds us that Jesus Christ is worthy of all. He is worthy of more than what we give. He made this comment: "Jesus is worthy also to be believed in preference to Satan, unbelief, the world, or appearances. He is worthy to be trusted with all, for all, before all. He is worthy to be loved more than any other, in opposition to any that would rival him. He is worthy to be followed wherever he leads. He is worthy to be preferred to ease, pleasure, wealth, health, or anything and everything. Jesus is worthy to be our example, our confidant, our king, and our all. He is worthy of all that he requires, all we can give, all his people have done for him or suffered his cause." Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is worthy. He is worthy of all riches and honor and power and glory and blessing. Why is he worthy? He is worthy because he is the Lamb that was slain. This morning I want to focus our thoughts again on the Lord Jesus Christ and consider him who is worthy, because we are saved by Christ alone. I've asked you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And again, we want to consider these verses 1 through 10. Follow along as I read again just the first four verses, then we'll bow and ask the Lord's blessing. Paul writes, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Bow with me, please, and let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our consideration this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come and we bow before your presence, we come this morning realizing that the only reason we can come and ask of you anything is because of Jesus Christ, who gave his life upon the cross of Calvary, and there he allowed his body to be broken, his blood to be shed. By the giving of his life, we've been given eternal life. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we've received, full and free. We thank you for his love and for his mercy and for his grace. We thank you that there is nothing man needs to do except to call upon his name in order to be saved. Lord, we realize this morning that as we gather together, in and of ourselves, we are not worthy. But Jesus Christ is worthy of all. He is worthy as the Lamb that was slain. May our mind and our heart be focused upon him and him alone this morning. And may we be drawn closer to him, and may we love him more. And as we love him more, may we desire to serve him more and take this good news to those all around us. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Man's greatest need has always been, since the fall, the need of one who could save them from his sin. As you go to the book of the Genesis, you find that Adam and Eve were created in innocence. God created them with a desire that he would have the fellowship with his own creation. The Bible tells us that they were privileged to walk with God in the cool of the day and there to fellowship with him. But soon that fellowship would be broken because Adam and Eve, by their own choice, would choose to sin. They were given a command and they chose to break that command. Because of that broken command and their sin, their fellowship was severed with God. And man had a need, and his need was to be saved. And immediately we find that God provided for man and gave to man a promise of a provision of salvation. Many today still don't understand that the greatest need that they have is the need to be saved. We live in a world that believes that there are many things that are needed, but very few truly understand their need of a Savior. I like the quote that I found this week in relation to man's greatest need. I only wish I know who said it, because I like to give honor to whom honor is due, but it was listed as anonymous, so we'll give credit to anonymous. He seems to write a lot. The quote says, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior." Man today has the need to be saved. You and I know the blessed privilege that we have been saved from our sin. Our eternal destiny has been forever changed. But as we gather together today and as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, we who know him as our Savior, I wonder if we truly ascribe to him the worth that is due him as the Lamb that was slain. So often it's easy for us to forget the wonderful blessing that we have received because of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, we find one of the clearest passages and one of the most important passages when it comes to our salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 allows us to see that salvation is by Jesus Christ and him alone. I want you to see with me this morning three things in relation to our salvation. First of all, I want you to notice with me what we were saved from. Ephesians chapter 2 begins and helps us to see what you and I have been saved from. Paul in the first three verses reminds the believers in Ephesus about the wonderful blessings of their salvation. And he reminds them from what they had been saved. Four things are pointed out to us in these verses. Look with me in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." What is it that you and I were saved from? We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We declare that He is worthy of our all. Why is He worthy? Is He not worthy because He saved us from death? Paul says, and he reminds these believers to whom he was writing, that when they were saved from death. He tells them before salvation they were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were without spiritual life, and as such they were dead unto God. But Jesus Christ has quickened us. The word quickened there means to make alive. In our sins we were dead. In our sins we had no life. But in Jesus Christ we've been made alive. Before Jesus Christ, before we were saved, we were separated from His fellowship. We were separated from His family. We were separated from His favor. Because of Jesus Christ, we who were once in darkness have now been brought into the light, and we have the joy of His fellowship. How often do we take that fellowship for granted? The opportunity that we can daily walk with the Lord, we can daily commune with Him, He will daily commune with us. But before we were saved, we had no fellowship, for we were dead. But Jesus Christ has made us alive. He has quickened us. Because of Jesus Christ, we who were once the enemies of God are now the children of God. We are part of His family, and no one can take that from us. You and I are the children of God. We illegally belong to God through the adoption that has been made possible by Jesus Christ. For Christ, we were dead, now part of His family. Because of Jesus Christ, we who once were under His wrath and doomed to spend an eternity in punishment, now have the blessing to know that He has granted to us His favor. We are no longer seen in our sin, but we are seen in His righteousness, which has been imputed to us because of the justification that God has granted to us. We're no longer seen in our filthy rags. We once were dead, but now we've been made alive. Because of our death, we were separated from His fellowship. Now we can walk with God. Because of our death, we were not part of that family. Now we are the sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because of our sin, we were at once the children of wrath. But now God has blessed us with His favor. You and I have been saved from death. God has blessed us with so many wonderful blessings. We were saved from death. But we were also saved, verse 2, from the devil's bondage. Look what verse 2 says. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Not only were we saved from death and given life, but we were saved from the bondage of the devil. All of us before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, walked according to the course of this world. And the course of this world walks according to the course of the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All who were or unsaved walk in his bondage. They walk according to his way. It's interesting that so many reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse to allow him to come and cleanse them from their sin because they fear giving up some freedom that they think they have. The reality is, without Jesus Christ, we are those in bondage to the devil, to his ways. Freedom comes to those in Christ and him alone. Jesus came and He died upon the cross. He conquered sin. He conquered death. By His victory, we have been given the victory and we have been set free. I love the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in Him. Before Jesus Christ, we lived in bondage. When we accepted Him as our Savior, we have been saved and set free. And we have been given a freedom in Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we now live as God intended man to live, in the freedom of fellowship and the freedom of His favor. Because of Jesus Christ, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. In sin, we were slaves. In Christ, we're sons. Folks, Jesus Christ is worthy, is He not? Because we were saved from death and we were saved from the devil's bondage. But notice verse 3. We were also saved from the desires of the flesh. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Third thing that Paul reminds the believers of is this. That because of Jesus Christ, they were saved from their selfish desires. The selfish desires of their flesh. The Bible tells us that before we were saved, we lived according to our desires. Whatever the flesh lusted after, we sought to give in and to feed it. Those desires, the Bible tells us, those lusts, when they conceive, bring forth sin. That sin, James tells us, brings death. Before Jesus Christ, we lived simply according to what our flesh desired. What it told us to do, we did. Our world today proclaims the message that we should do what we want. We should control our own destiny. We should do what pleases us. Folks, we understand that these philosophies are nothing but the lies of the devil, which seek to keep people in bondage that he may one day see them destroyed and ultimately damned to hell. Jesus Christ, however, when he comes into a life, does something wonderful. The Bible says he gives a new life, an abundant life, one that is free from such selfish desires. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When Jesus Christ saves a man from sin, he saves him from those old selfish desires. Those desires which keep us wanting more. Those desires which simply bring us down. Those desires that one day will damn a man to hell. But Jesus Christ has set us free. He has saved us. He has saved us from death. He has saved us from the devil's bondage. He has saved us from the desires of the flesh. Finally, we are also saved from destruction. At the end of verse 3, we are reminded that before Jesus Christ, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that our eternal destiny was determined, and it was doom. We were by nature the children of wrath. We were headed for an eternal punishment in a place the Bible calls the lake of fire. But by Jesus Christ, we were freed from that death, and we were given that wonderful gift of eternal life. John in his gospel said it this way, we have passed from death unto life. Folks, is Jesus Christ not worthy this morning? He certainly is. Why is he worthy?
He is worthy because he has saved us from death and destruction. He has saved us from the devil's bondage and our own selfish desires, which can only destroy. He is worthy because he has saved us from. He is worthy because of what we were saved by.
I love verse 4. I love the way it begins.
You and I who were once the children of wrath, you and I who were once doomed, you and I who were controlled by our desires and under the devil's bondage, you and I who were dead, have found Jesus Christ, and there is the wonderful truth. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he has loved us, he has quickened us again. He has given us life. For by grace are ye saved. You and I were saved from some terrible things, but we were saved by something that was wonderful. We were saved by his mercy. His mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy. What a contrast to what we once were. What a contrast to our plight and to our dilemma. Things look awful and dim and they were dark. But there is a God who is rich in mercy. And by that mercy, he has saved us. You and I are not worthy of salvation. Only he, God, is worthy. But in his mercy, he has saved us. The words again, but God, place in contrast the evil and vileness of our life to the wonderful character of our God. Although undeserving, God in his mercy has saved us. I'll remind you that mercy is God withholding from us what we rightfully deserve. Romans 6:23 makes it very clear that the wages of sin is death. We deserved punishment. We deserve to be separated from God for all eternity because we chose to sin. But God is rich in mercy. And God provided the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I could have never earned the favor of God. But the Bible tells us that all of our righteousness before Christ is as filthy rags. But God is rich in mercy. By that mercy he has saved us. And he has imputed to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The passage goes on. It also reminds us that we were saved by his love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he has saved us. That great love. Folks, truly, the love of God is great. Again, John the Apostle would say, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Paul would tell us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ is worthy of your all this morning because of the great love wherein he hath loved you. And by that love, he has saved you from death and destruction, the devil's bondage and your own selfish desires. Truly our song should ring out, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're also told that we were saved by his grace. Verse 8 and 9, very familiar verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a wonderful term. Grace.
I'm glad that God decided to communicate to us by way of words. Words are a wonderful thing. Words, by the way, give meaning. And words, by the way, have meaning. You don't get to choose your meanings. You don't get to redefine them. They have their meanings and you live according to their meanings. I love this word, grace. Grace reminds us that God has given to us what we didn't deserve. He has given us His unmerited favor. Hell was our due, but heaven is His grace. Wrath is our due, but peace He has given. God has given to us His grace, and by that grace, He has saved us who were not worthy of such salvation. I came across a poem this week. It speaks well of this wonderful grace. It reads this way. In Christ, we have a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, resources that can never be exhausted. Folks, Jesus Christ, because of His mercy, His love, and His grace, has saved us. And He today is worthy to be valued above all. There's a final thing I want us to see this morning. Not only what we were saved from and what we were saved by, but I want you to see with me what we were saved to. Jesus Christ is worthy of honor and riches and power and glory and blessing. And He has saved us to a purpose. I want you to see what Paul says. Look with me beginning in verse 6. We're told, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When God saved you from sin, He also saved you to, first of all, a new position in life. You and I were saved to a new position in life. We have now been made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. That phrase reminds us of all the blessings that have been afforded to us in Jesus Christ. We today are able to live as if we are currently sitting with the Lord in heaven. That's the way the phrase is written. It's looking to a future, but it's written with a present expectation. Jesus Christ has given us a new position in life. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We today can know the fellowship and the joy and blessing of His presence. We talk about and we long for the day that we can be with Him. Yet how often we forget that we can know the joy and blessing of His fellowship today. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful day to see our Savior face to face. Oh, how blessed it will be that our faith will be removed and finally our eyes will behold Him who is beloved and beautiful. But you and I can know the joy and blessing of fellowship today because we now have been given a new position. We sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. We've been saved to a new position, but also we've been saved to a new way of life. Verse 10 tells us that. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You and I were saved by His grace, and we were saved unto good works. The old things of our life before Christ are to be done away with. You and I are now to walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 tells us.
We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we are to live. It's not our life, but Christ living through us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You and I have been saved to a new way of life. No longer walking according to those old selfish desires. Matter of fact, the Bible will tell us later in this same book that we are to put off the old man. Are those old filthy garments? We are to set them aside. And we are to take on the new garments of Christ and put on the new man. You and I are to walk in newness of life. The Lord Jesus Christ would say it this way: can you pour new wine into old wineskins? The two can't coexist. Because the new wine will burst the old wineskins. You and I have been saved to a new way of life. We are now living unto good works for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship. Why should we walk in a new way of life? Because Jesus Christ is worthy as the Lamb that was slain. To receive power and riches and honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy of your all. He is worthy of my all. He is to be the center of everything that we do. He is to be the focus of our life. He is not simply to be a part of our life. He is more. So let me ask you this question, beloved. Does Jesus Christ mean everything to you? Or does He mean something less? If He means less than everything, then you and I within our heart have a problem that needs to be fixed and changed. For He is worthy of it all. In fact, we're told in Romans chapter 12 that Jesus Christ is worthy of a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. And what was the basis of such a plea? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Jesus Christ is worthy, for He has saved us from our sin. He has saved us by His mercy, by His love, and by His grace. And we've been given a new position in this life, and we're to live a new life. Is He worthy of your all this morning? I fear that so often, it's just so easy to say He's a part of life. Well, folks, He deserves more than that. He deserves our all. He's not something that we fit into our schedules. He is everything. We fit our schedules, folks, around Him. You know the difference between the two? We don't fit God in when we can. We fit everything else in and we make Him first. Colossians says He is worthy to be the preeminent one. Nothing is to supersede Him in position. He is to be upon the throne of your heart. He is worthy because He alone has saved you by His grace. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, as we close our time together, Lord, I pray that every heart here would truly be able to ring out and sing today, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Well, I believe that picture that John saw A day yet future includes the song that we will sing. But Lord, it's not that we will just sing it in the future. It ought to be ringing forth from our life today. For Jesus Christ is worthy as the Lamb that was slain. Father, we truly do not value Him if we don't value Him above all. May He truly be the center and focus of our hearts and our lives, our families, our church. May we not make Him just a part of what we do, but may He be the focus of everything that we do. Now, Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it. Bless us, Lord, at this time of invitation. I pray that You'd speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that You would be able to move among us, point out those things in which we have faltered and where we have failed. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to receive that prodding and that conviction of the Spirit of God, and Lord, that we would make it right. Lord, if there's one here this morning that knows not Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, then I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Well, thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed, no one's looking around this morning. Can I just ask the question, number one, has there ever been a time in your life where you, by faith, have accepted that wonderful grace of God and you've been saved? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ wants to save you from your sin. And all that man must do is call upon the name of the Lord and they will be saved. Can you go back to a time in your life where you made that decision, you called upon Him? I wonder if there's one that would simply say, Pastor Bateman, others may think that I'm saved, but I know deep down in my heart I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Would you please pray for me? By saying that, you're simply acknowledging your need of a Savior. It's man's greatest need. By raising the hand, you will not do anything for you except acknowledge the need. And then we love to be able to have someone sit down with you and share with you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're saved. Pastor, I've never been saved, but I need to be. Please pray for me. Anyone at all? Christian, let me ask you this question. Answer it honestly. Does He mean everything to you? Or does He mean something less? He is not valued at all until He is valued above all. He is worthy of preeminence, for He is the Lamb that was slain. He saved you from sin by His mercy and His grace, and He saved you to a new life. When's the last time you went before the Lord and simply said, thank You for saving me? And Lord, today I give You my all. Whatever You ask of me, it is not too much for me to do. I'll serve You faithfully. Tim's going to come and lead us with a closing hymn of invitation. It's open as it is each week. If you need to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you come. Christian, if you need to come to make things right with the Lord, you come today. You allow the Spirit of God to minister to you through His Word. And I know that you'll be blessed as you make those right decisions for Him. Tim's going to come and lead us as we sing.